And let me bid you welcome again, express appreciation for your being here. Yeah, we say it so often, but really we say it sincerely. It's just good to get together. There is an outline in the bulletin that hopefully you picked one up this morning. If you'd like to follow along, the title of the lesson comes from the text that was read to us, and we'll repeat that story a little bit when we get to the bottom of the outline. But the title is Things That Are Better Than Sacrifice. Of course, my first thought is, what's better than sacrifice? I mean, sacrifice, that's good. I can't get much better than giving something up or sacrificing, putting somebody else first. The sacrifice, that's got to be the top. But as you can see in your notes, in the first verse of my book from Jesus says, "Woe to you scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites. You paid tithe and mint, anise, cumin. You neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. These you ought to have done, yeah, without leaving the others undone." So he puts the balance in. You do it all. Some things are just better than others. So if you look at your notes, when you go through the list, you can see number one, we'll talk about justice. Doing justice, righteousness, living correctly. Number two is love. But don't forget sacrifice. Number three is mercy. Oh, I even pray for that. Lord have mercy. Number four is knowledge. I want to do things correctly. I want to know what's right. Number five is praise and thanksgiving. Oh yeah, don't leave that out, along with sacrifice. Number six is a broken and contrite heart. Humility. I want to show my dependence upon God. And then the last one came from the text, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. So let's take a look at each of these in turn. Number one in Proverbs 21, verse 3. To do righteousness and justice, or judgment, is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Wow. I want to do justice. Meaning I want to do that which is correct, or that which is right. I want to do righteousness and justice. Yeah. And that was a prevalent theme among the Old Testament prophets. It seemed like when they would preach their lessons to the people, their God's people of Israel, this was a recurring theme. I want you to do righteousness and justice. For example, in Jeremiah 9, verse 24, Jeremiah said, let him that glory in this. All right, what do you want to say, Jeremiah? That he understands and knows me, meaning God. That I am the Lord which exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For in these things I delight. Right? Jeremiah says, I want you to know what God delights in. Doing righteousness, that which is right, and justice. In Isaiah, same or similar lesson. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices? Why are you giving me all this sacrifice? Says the Lord. He says, I'm full of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I don't delight in the blood of bullocks or of rams or of he-goats. In verse 16, he gets to the conclusion of the lesson. He says, wash, make you clean, put away the evil of your doing from before my eyes. Seek to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment and justice. Relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Yeah, there's things that God wants and desires along with our sacrifice. But some people want to present themselves to God in a sacrificial way and say, that's enough. Don't count on me for this and that and the other. And God says, wait a minute. I want this, that, and the other. Along with this. Yeah. In Micah chapter 6, In verse 8 he says, he has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? Sacrifices? Yes. Along with doing justly that which is right, loving mercy and walking humbly, you want to put it all together. Don't do one thing to the exclusion of the others things that God has required of us. And that brings us to what Jesus said in your introduction of your notes. Here are these scribes and Pharisees. Oh, they made sure they got in the tithe. But he said there's a weightier matter. Judgment and justice. Do justice. Mercy and faith. These you ought to have done, but don't leave the other undone. So many times we want to pick and choose what we want to present to God. And we don't see the whole picture of what God desires from us. We want to barter with God and say, I think this is enough. And there's 9 other things. Or God, how about 3? I'm doing 3 things? God, that's pretty good, isn't it? God wants all. These you should have done, but don't leave these undone. That's right. Number 2, the list goes on. In Mark chapter 12, verse 23, the scribe again. He's a very religious person. Pretty proud of what he's presenting to God. So the scribe, Jesus asked him, what do you think the great commandments are? He asked Jesus. And Jesus said, and the scribe summarizes, to love him with all your heart, understanding him, and all the soul, and all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifice. Right? I want to do this and that. I want to make sure I get into sacrifice. Oh, but don't forget to love God. Oh, and there's your neighbor too. Put it all together. Put it together. Along with love. Because Paul counseled in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we can do this, but without love it profits me nothing. But someone says, but look at the sacrifice I'm giving. Look at what I'm doing. And wait a minute, without the balance of love in it, oh, it's reduced to zero. Paul said in Romans chapter 13, verse 8, for he that loves one another has fulfilled the law. We want to love. Oh, but don't forget to do what God said. Number 3, in the Old Testament book of Hosea, 3 and 4 come from the same verse. In Hosea 6, verse 6, I desired mercy, not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Oh, take the first one, mercy. You see, it was easy for Hosea's people to offer the sacrifice and then go their own way. It's kind of like saying, oh God, I came to the assembly. And that should be sufficient. Now I want to go my way and not do these other things. What they were doing. God wanted more. He said, I want you to love mercy. In Micah's words, in Micah chapter 6, in verse 8, he said, what does the Lord require of you again? So the same verse we used above about justly. He said, what does the Lord require of you? And here was the list. Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. In Micah preaches the prophet the same lesson. In Micah 7, verse 18, Micah asks a question, a good question. Who is a God like unto thee? If I don't give my love and praise to God, to whom am I going to give it? There's not a God like you. Who is a God like unto you? That pardons, he answers the question, that pardons iniquity, that passes by the transgression of his heritage. It doesn't retain his anger forever, but delights in mercy. Yes, mercy. And that's what we want. I want to show mercy. In James chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "For he shall have judgment without mercy that didn't show mercy." I don't want what I deserve. I want to be sure that I show mercy. Then what? I want to do justice. Do right. I want to be sure I love God and one another. I want to show mercy. Show mercy. Anyone not in need of it? Number four, again, that same verse of Hosea chapter 6, verse 6, the next phrase. After he says, "For I desired mercy, not the sacrifice." And now he says, "And the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." Again, the illustration, they wanted to just come to the assembly, make their sacrifice, and then go their own way. God, I gave you that minimum or what you said to do, but I'm going to forget these other things over here. And Micah and Hosea, they're saying, well, no, God wants. Yes, He wants to sacrifice. Come and make your burnt offering, but don't forget this love and mercy and to do justly and to walk humbly with your God. Don't leave that out. And that's what they were doing. They're always, here's my sacrifice. I'm done. And go. The people were satisfied with that, but not God. So He sends the prophets to tell the people that there's something better than just the sacrifice. Something better. You see, in the days of Hosea, that was the problem. They didn't have a knowledge of God. In Hosea chapter 4, verse 1, here's the prophet speaking to the people, and they're people of God. He says, "Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. Because there's no truth, there's no mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land." In verse 6, the same chapter, Hosea chapter 4, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Chew on that for a moment. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And then he continues, "Because you have rejected knowledge, I have rejected you. I shall be no priest, and you shall be no priest to me. Seeing that you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget you." Lack of knowledge. I wonder why we encourage Bible study. Why we have a Bible class? To impart knowledge of God's Word. We put many study materials in your hands. Because God says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." And some people don't want to have knowledge of God. And I think one reason perhaps is because if I have knowledge of God, I'm going to have to change my way. If I learn how God wants me to behave, I'm going to have to make a change. Although I'm satisfied with my lack of knowledge because I'm comfortable with my lack of knowledge. Oh. So some people are satisfied with the way they present themselves to God, their sacrifice to God on their terms. And God says, "Oh, there's something better than sacrifice. I want knowledge. I want you to know about me." 2 Peter 3, verse 18, the New Testament, the Apostle Peter writes, "Grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." So we make the offering. We have Bible classes. Now, I give you an outline so you don't just hear the lesson. You can take it home.
home with you and review it throughout the week. I put something in your hand every Lord's Day when we assemble to help you in study. Number five, in Psalm 69, verse 30, David said, I'll praise the name of God with a song. I like that because I like singing, you know. And I'll magnify Him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that has horns and hoofs. I mean, can't get any better than an ox and a bull that has all everything with a boy, a big ox and a big bull. Yeah, well, we've had something better. You give me praise and thanksgiving. Purpose of assembly is for us as a congregation to look up. I want to give you my songs, give you my prayers. The Lord's table give you my remembrance of the sacrifice of your Son. Yes. I want to give you the sacrifice of praise and the sacrifice of thanksgiving. That's better than the sacrifice of a bull. The best of the bull, he has the horns and hoofs. Doesn't get much better than that. Oh, yes, it does. Give me praise and thanksgiving. Psalm 116, verse 17. I'll offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I'll call upon the name of the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. By Him, meaning by Jesus, therefore let's offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Let's do that. And He says, continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks in His name. And not just when we assemble. God, what do you delight in? Well, not the sacrifice of the best bull. There's something better. Give me praise and thanks. Then it's there once in a while, lead a song in our hymnal titled Thank You, Lord. And it's a song of thanksgiving. Put that song in our heart. Thank you, Lord, for saving. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me.
Thank you.
I want to do that because that's God delights in that, not to leave the other undone. But I want to say thank you, Lord. Number six is in Psalm 51. You desire not sacrifice. That's what I give it. You delight not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are, all right, tell me, along with these other things. Sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Along with my sacrifice, my time, my talent, my treasure, things we do during the week, we need to add to that a contrite heart. We saw that in our Bible class lesson this morning. Now when David went out to meet or saw King Saul, because the King Saul was the Lord's anointed, the first thing David does is stoop and bow down. Reverence the Lord's anointed. Yeah. And that's what I want to do when I present myself before God in worship or in activity or ministry or service. It's with humility, a contrite heart, because I depend upon God and so do you. When we have a broken and contrite heart, it illustrates our dependence upon God. When we bow our heads in prayer, it's a big sign that there's someone greater than us. Or when we lift up our head, we recognize someone greater than us and that we can't always do it by ourselves. So we have a broken and contrite heart, and God will not despise that. So God, I give you my sacrifice. Because I can't make it by myself. Begin each day with a prayer. God, I need you again today. Can't do it by myself. A broken and contrite heart, God will not despise. Don't walk with your thumbs in your lapels, so to speak, and say, you know, God, I don't need you. I appreciate your help, but I'll let you know when. I need you again today. A broken and contrite heart, God will not destroy. God, I bow down to you. I lift up my head to you. Better than sacrifice. In James chapter 4, and with that many notes, verses 5 through 10 illustrate the phrase, God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. Resist the proud. Wait a minute, I want God on my side, but God's not on my side when I walk around pompous and think I can do it, I can work, live my life without you. God resists me. The very one I want to call upon for help, but if I'm proud, who? The last one, number 7. Number 7 was in our text that was read to us. In 1 Samuel 15, verse 22, Samuel said to King Saul, he just came back from the battle with the Amalekites. And remember, God said, don't bring anything back. The first thing Saul says, but I brought back some. We weren't supposed to bring anything back. Well, I brought back some for sacrifice. Well, Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Oh, that's a good question. Let's take that one to heart. Saul wanted to present his worship to God his own way. God, I know you said destroy everything, but you know, I kept this little back and I wanted to give you sacrifice. Samuel said, is that what God said to do? No. No. Saul, when he was coming to Samuel, he said, blessed be thou of the Lord. I performed the commandment of the Lord. No, he didn't. But in his own mind, he did. That's the problem. Without knowledge. Remember, God requires knowledge. Saul had, he was told, destroy everything. He said, I performed the commandment. No, you didn't. So he and he said, we spared the best. The sheep, the oxen, and the king. What Samuel says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. And to hearken is better than the fat of lambs. Saul took it to heart. In verse 30, he said, I sinned. You're right, Samuel. I didn't perform the commandments of the Lord. Nope, I didn't. He took time to obey is better than sacrifice. Do not come to God on your terms. We submit to God. God does not submit to us. We present ourselves to God God's way. It was interesting one time in Jesus' ministry, and I'll close with this. In John chapter 8, verse 30, Jesus spoke these words. It says that many believed on him. That's a good thing. I want to clap with the Adam. What way to go, group and disciples and crowd. Jesus speaks and many believed on him. Then Jesus said to those Jews that believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus wasn't satisfied with their mere belief. He says there's something better than that, and that is if you continue in my word, then, and oh, really, I'll put add the words to it, only then are you my disciples. Yeah. You see, there's something better than presenting ourselves to God in our own way. What we think is right. We want to do it God's way. That's the lesson. That's the invitation we extend to. The way that you have your sins forgiven. Don't do it your own way. Do it God's way. And Jesus commissioned his apostles to go into all the world in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Preach the gospel, the good news to every creature. Don't leave anybody out. And then he concluded by saying, and he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And then from that point on, then we begin to grow, as Peter said, in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As Jesus said, continue in my word. Right? There's something more, something better than just believing and being baptized. Something better. So that's the invitation. If you're subject to that, if you're not obeyed the gospel message, why don't I spread it for strength or encouragement? We can accomplish that. Just simply let your request know. We're going to sing this song. And if you have a request, just come and have a seat on the front and let it be known. So let's stand and sing the song that does this.